For a text this evening, I'm going to be reading from the book of Joshua, the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 3. If you have your Bibles and care to follow along, I'll be reading beginning in verse 1 through verse 6. Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. I'm very humbled to be here tonight and to be given this honor. Thank you for allowing me to stand before you and share the Word of God. It sure feels good not to be responsible for everything. Would you please stand if you're physically able as we read the Word of God together? Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out of your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Father, this is your word, and we thank you for the privilege we have to hold it in our hand this evening, to hear it in our ear, and to hide it in our heart. I pray tonight that we will rightly divide the word of truth, that the God who inspired it and it speaks about this evening would be exalted and glorified, that you would humble us and hide us behind the cross, that you might draw people to you, that you might strengthen our faith and help us to be better servants for you. We love this denomination and thank you for the privilege we've had to be associated with it these many years. And pray tonight at this time as I stand to share the word of God, I can truthfully say the things that you want me to say in the way that you want them said, and that they'll be received in that same spirit, and you'll get the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the early chapters of the book of Joshua, Israel was, in a manner of speaking, turning the page. The nation was comprised of a new generation, and they were being led by a new leader, and they were entering a new frontier. The Lord's word in our text sums up what lay ahead for His people. You have not passed this way before. It was indeed a new day. Israel had not been down this road before. And in a sense, the path which lies before us as a denomination parallels the one Israel faced here in this passage. In many regards, it is a new day for Free Will Baptists. We are entering uncharted territory. We've never been down this road before. But before I get to the heart of what I want to say to you this evening, I want to mention something that I consider to be vitally important and foundational to what we're going to talk about this evening. It has to do with the matter of perspective. There are two dangers that we need to avoid as a denomination, in my opinion. The first is the danger of being too confident. Perhaps Paul had this danger in mind when he said in Romans chapter 12, For I say through the grace given to me, that to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Israel had a tendency at times to be overconfident as a nation. I wonder if that might have prompted the reminder in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, where the Bible says, The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the peoples. He brought Israel down a couple of notches there. Remember who you are. As a movement, we need to remember to keep our heads on straight and not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. I am convinced Freeville Baptist plays a significant role in the work of God's kingdom. I'm not trying to minimize or belittle who we are or what we do. When you think about what God has allowed us to do as a denomination, it is an honor. On the other hand, I recognize that our denomination is relatively small in the grand scheme of things, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is humbling. That God would take us, of all people, and use us the way He's used our denomination. The second danger is that of being overly critical. It's possible to be too confident, but it's also possible to be overly critical. And let me explain what I mean when I say that. I am not suggesting that we should not think critically of ourselves. Critical thinking is defined as rational, unbiased analysis or evaluation of factual evidence. Before you jump to conclusions, you ought to make sure you have your facts straight and should make good judgment on the basis of what the facts are. It is not only helpful if we are to move forward as a denomination. Critical thinking is essential if we're going to become the kind of people that God wants us to become. What I am suggesting is that we need to stop speaking of ourselves in destructive, disparaging ways. I am not advocating that we should look at ourselves through rose-colored glasses. Honesty dictates that we admit we have our share of shortcomings and failures as a denomination. Yet in spite of our weaknesses and in spite of our imperfections, I for one love our denomination and I owe a deep debt of gratitude for what it's done for my life and allowed me to serve as a denominational leader. I grow weary of hearing those who constantly criticize, belittle, and pick us apart. The Lord knows there's plenty of room for improvement in our ranks. But things are never going to improve unless we are willing to help identify and implement the positive change and find workable solutions to the problems we face. It's okay to criticize us if it's constructive, but don't tear us down. Once we achieve the proper perspective, not overly confident and not overly critical, then we're ready to consider what I consider to be key priorities as far as what it means to be a Freeville Baptist moving forward. I've identified some of those priorities that I believe they are implied in our text this evening, and I will share that in the balance of the message. Did you notice God's instructions in verse number 3 of our text? When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. It was to be the point to lead the people of God into the new land. Evidently, God had a reason for instructing His people to follow the Ark of the Covenant. I think it was because there were some things that God wanted to emphasize as His people embarked on a new journey. And I'm talking about reflection tonight, looking back to what God has done in our denomination and what we stand for as a people. I came to this conclusion on the basis of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, where the Bible says, "The Ark of the Covenant was overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of the glory overshadowing the mercy seat." Here I see, I believe in my mind, objects that represent important priorities for us as we move forward as they have been in the past. The first object placed emphasis on shed blood. Some might consider this to be an odd place to begin a message like this. However, I believe it is foundational to everything else that we do. Once each year, the high priest entered the most holy place, which housed the Ark of the Covenant, and represented the presence of God among His people. The priest never approached the mercy seat without bringing the blood of a sacrifice with him to pour on it. Many in our day are opting for bloodless religion. It's old-fashioned, it's outdated. We dare never be in that number. Paul undoubtedly understood the importance of the shed blood of Christ when in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18, he said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Freeville Baptists understand the importance of shed blood. Whatever path we follow as a denomination, may it never lead us away from our belief in blood atonement, no matter how unpopular it is in the world. The second object underscores the importance of supernatural provision. The pot of manna served as a reminder that God supernaturally fed the nation for nearly 40 years. We pass over that in Scripture many times and don't think much about it. But based on the sources I consulted, it is estimated that it would have required somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 tons of food every single day during the wilderness journeys to feed the nation of Israel. Do the calculation. That's between 2 and 4 million pounds of food every single day for 40 years. You do the math and you'll come up with the same conclusion I did. That's a miracle of mind-boggling proportions. It wasn't Moses, as genius as he was, it was God who supernaturally provided for His people. I am not suggesting that it is wrong or unnecessary to do vision casting or to formulate strategic plans or to make projections for the future. These are useful tools a wise leader will utilize to lead in a more effective and productive way. However, in ministry, these tools, as useful as they may be, are inadequate without God's intervention. We can never as a denomination come to the place where we think we've got it figured out and we can do it on our own. Faith in God's supernatural provision is still an essential element for every legitimate free will Baptist ministries. I don't care how good the interest rates are. I don't care how many donors we have in our denominational ministry. We cannot do it without God's supernatural provision. The third object represents the need for strong leadership. Aaron's rod that budded. In Numbers chapter 16, Korah and his companions attempted to undermine Moses and Aaron's leadership. The Lord took care of that problem. They didn't take matters into their own hands. We do well to remember that as leaders. God vindicates the righteous. The Lord dispensed with those rebels through an earthquake and a consuming fire. Unfortunately, after this dramatic event, there were still some Israelites who continued to question their authority as leaders. By the way, it's easy to spot a leader. He's the one with the arrows in his back. When they were going into the Promised Land and crossing the Jordan River, they were entering hostile territory. The world does not tolerate that kind of leadership. In Numbers chapter 17, we have an explanation about this matter and how it was resolved. The Bible says the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and get from them a rod from each father's house, all their leaders according to their father's houses, 12 rods. Write each man's name on his rod. Then you shall place them in the tabernacle of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. And it shall be that the rod of the man whom I choose will blossom. Thus I will rid myself of the complaints of the children of Israel which they make against you." By the way, when you criticize God's leader, you're criticizing God as well. And Moses placed the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron of the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds, had produced blossoms, and yielded ripe almonds. God put His stamp of approval on His leader in a powerful way. They stood in the face of strong opposition as strong leaders for God. Joshua was a man out of the same mold as Moses. He possessed two qualities that made him a strong leader. And I believe every great spiritual leader has these qualities. First of all, he was a man of vision. When everybody else came back, the other spies came back and said, "There's no way we can go in there. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight. There is no way we can conquer this new territory." Joshua said, "I think we can do it." He was a man of faith. He could see what others could not see. But he was also a man of great valor. Unless I miscalculated, in Joshua chapter 1, God told him four different times, "Be strong and courageous. because God knew he would need lots of courage and lots of strength if he was going to lead God's people. I think if you'll study Joshua's life, you'll discover that he proved time and again that he was courageous and that he was strong. This is the same kind of leadership that the Lord looks for in leaders today. Men and women who are people of vision and valor. As a denomination, we should select men and women who possess these qualities to lead us. Like Aaron's rod, I believe our leaders' lives will invariably produce fruit that evidences God's stamp of approval upon their life. Time will be the test and prove whether they be God's leaders or not. The fourth object points to the permanence of scriptural truth. The tablets of the covenant contained the Ten Commandments. They had been inscribed by the very finger of God. It was nothing less than God's word written in stone. Psalm 119:89 declares, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." It's established. It's fixed. It's finished. It declares that God has spoken in Scripture and He does not intend to change what He has said. God has spoken. Period. We all know of denominations that have gone liberal theologically. As a general rule, for most of them, the first step down the path came about when they got off track regarding their view of Scripture. I, for one, am thankful and very proud to be a part of a denomination that has historically held and continues to hold a correct, high view of God's Word. We put it down in print, in fact, in a treatise, Part 3, Articles of Faith, the Bible. The Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments were given by inspiration of God and are our infallible rule of faith and practice. I'm glad that we'll not be voting on the inerrancy of God's Word at our convention this year. We're settled. We believe it's the Word of God. God's Word not only dictates what we are to believe, it also dictates and tells us how we're to behave. It is our rule of faith and practice. It is the final word in matters for our denomination. I pray the little children's chorus will always be the anthem of Free Will Baptists on this subject. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Once we achieve the proper perspective and establish these key priorities, we are then ready to make this message practical. Joshua chapter 3 mentions three things that we need to do in that regard. We find the first in verse number 5. Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves." We're not told exactly what was meant by sanctification, but it no doubt had to do with personal cleansing and separation from sin. In order to carry out their mission, their hearts had to be pure. We too need to remember that if we are to minister effectively, our hearts must be clean before God. There is no substitute for, and there is no shortcut to, biblical holiness. And we will never be a better denomination unless we are a sanctified nation. We find the second in verse number 15. Those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water. They came to a point when it was time to stop talking about moving forward and actually doing it. They had to step forward. Remember, the Jordan River was at flood stage. The water was dangerously swift. It must have taken a lot of faith and a lot of courage for those who carried the ark to step out into the currents. I can imagine them looking at each other saying, "You go first." Free Will Baptists are looking for to those of you who are assembled in this room this evening for leadership. All of you. We can no longer afford to live in the past. We must find the confidence and courage we need to step forward and realize our full potential. It's time to quit talking about it and step forward by faith and trust God to do what only He can do. We find the third thing in verse 17. The Bible said the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. I don't believe these two points are contradictory or mutually exclusive. I'm convinced it is possible to both step forward and stand firm at the same time. We can step forward and be progressive and innovative. We don't have to live in the past. We don't have to ride a dead horse. We can go forward and do new things. But we must also stand firm for those things that have distinguished and made us who we are without apology. Joshua chapter 4 provides a fitting conclusion to this message. Once the nation had successfully crossed the Jordan River, the Bible tells us that there were 12 stones gathered by tribal leaders, and a memorial was erected there beside the river. It was to serve as a perpetual reminder to the nation and future generations that they were where they were because God had led them there and had done it. Their children would come by in a few years and see that pile of rocks and say, "What does this mean?" It was an opportunity for those who were older and more mature to remind them, we got to where we are because of God. We did not do it ourselves. Alex Haley, the author of Roots, has a picture in his office. It shows a turtle sitting on top of a fence post. The picture is there to remind him of a lesson he learned a long time ago. If you see a turtle on the fence post, you know he had some help. Says Alex, anytime I start thinking, wow, isn't it marvelous what I've done? I look at that picture and remember how this turtle, me, got on top of that fence post. I appeal to you, my fellow Free Will Baptist turtles. May we never forget what the Lord has done for us. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Thank you.